Hey guys, I'm Meredith.
And I'm Sam.
And this
is
Pardon My Crime. So welcome back, guys. This is our special Halloween edition.
Ooh.
We're going to be talking about some Halloween myths, some urban legends, throw some in a little bit
true crime,
a little sprinkle. Is there anything else we wanted to talk about before we get started, or do we just want to dive in?
Y'all, I'm sorry about last week again. My cat decided to give us a heart attack.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing.
Look at him.
He spent like 3 days in the bed. Also, featuring my cat, Sylvester.
Look at him.
He looks like a happy boy today.
He does. With his little socks.
It's the drugs.
All right. So, I'm just going to get started.
Yeah.
So, not really an urban legend to start off, per se, but one of the most widespread myths about Halloween, particularly amongst certain groups, is that Halloween is about devil worship. You know. So, the holiday has been demonized by certain groups of Christians for centuries, from the very beginning of the rise of Christianity, which, when compared with other widely practiced religions, is actually pretty young. So during the rise of the Christian church, they pretty much tried to just sully the name of, like, the druids and the pagans however they could. They even stole a lot of their imagery and traditions and basically co-opted them for their own use.
We should do a Christmas special.
Oh, we will definitely do a Christmas special because I have a lot to say about that. I could probably honestly do an entire podcast, if not at least just a whole episode, on this history, so I'm going to try to keep it as pared down as possible. But basically, before we had Halloween, there were several older traditions revolving around the harvest, being sort of the end of a year and then the beginning of a new one, looking at the cycle of the death and rebirth of the earth through the winter months. So a lot of it goes back to the druids, and then we also have Samhain, which a lot of people mispronounce, which I did for a long time, as Samhain, but since it's a Celtic word, it's Samhain, because everything in like, all Gaelic words, if you try to pronounce them phonetically the way they look, it's completely incorrect.
Huh. Yeah. I did not know that.
I didn't until, like, a few years ago either. So, Samhain is about celebrating the last harvest of the year, also honoring ancestors, family members who've passed, and anyone who had died that year, really. So all of these traditions and rituals sort of eventually joined together to create, over time, what we now have come to know as Halloween.
Spooky season.
So we have, you know, dressing up, wearing masks on this day was practiced to disguise oneself and, like, hide from any spirits, meaning ill will. Pumpkin carving comes from the practice of carving other root vegetables like potatoes and turnips, which were much more abundant in Ireland. And these lanterns were basically just used to light the way and ward off malevolent spirits. So really, when it came over, sort of moved over to North America, we have much more abundance of pumpkins, which are, you know, starting to come into season in the fall. So they thought, okay, well, we're going to keep this tradition, but we're going to do it with pumpkins instead, because we've got a shit ton of those laying around. People would also go around asking for, like, offerings from neighboring homes to give to the spirits, which is, of course, you know, has become what we now know as the tradition of trick-or-treating. So many of the old, like, Druid and Celtic traditions are still honored by our modern day Halloween in some way. Today, of course, I think we probably have all known at least someone, you know, there's still those kids or those parents who don't let their kids celebrate Halloween. They're probably the same people who don't let their kids read Harry Potter because they think it's evil.
My parents used to be very
anti-Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, yep. And so my dad started reading it, and then it just turned into a parasite.
And I never understood that like when we were in school.
I never did either. It's the
You're like, it's witchcraft.
Yep.
Like, sure, it's a book, but okay. But yeah, so, you know, they think it's evil or associated with, quote, worshiping Satan, even though Satan is a concept created by Christianity. So these supposed, quote, devil-worshipping pagans don't even actually believe in the being that they're being purported to be worshipping. Like, make it make sense. I've never gotten that. They're like, you worship Satan. I'm like, they don't believe in Satan. The idea of Satan, like, of the Christian concept of Satan, was completely created by the Christian church.
Oh, even Satanism isn't about Satan.
Exactly. They don't believe in Satan. But whatever, you know, they want to think what they want to think. It's fine. So, of course, like pretty much like all of the other major pagan holidays, as I mentioned before, Christianity co-opted Samhain and created All Hallows Eve. And also November 1st was dubbed as All Saints Day, which are also days to honor the dead and those who've come before, but in like more Christian traditions and ways that they didn't apparently see as evil. Even though they were doing the same thing. But whatever. So, that's just a little bit about the history of why Halloween is not satanic.
Fine. Okay. So the first one that I'm going to get into is actually haunted houses and their originations. Ooh. Yeah, you know I love a good haunted house.
I know you do.
I do.
I like a real haunted house.
I like both. I'm not picky.
I've never been to, like, I'm just... open confession, I've never been to like a legit like haunted house. I've been to the one at the school carnival.
Really? To be honest, they're all pretty much the same. They're about the same level of like scary. I've been to
Hallow Scream at Busch Gardens.
You have been to a haunted house. That's a walking haunted house. True. Plus they have like 15,000 haunted houses there anyways.
Oh, I mean, we didn't do any of those, like the corn mazes and shit.
Yeah.
We didn't do that.
Fun fact that you mentioned corn mazes. So, in the U.S., the Great Depression actually kickstarted this trend roughly around the 1930s, so later towards the end of the Great Depression. Parents who were concerned due to the reported violent incidents, which I think we can all agree may have been a little bit exaggerated, just a little, except for, like, maybe vandalism and stuff like that.
Probably.
Who were concerned with their kids running freely and potentially getting themselves into trouble, had actually organized haunted houses or kind of, like, mazes to keep the kids preoccupied and keep them from off the streets.
So is this, like, the Depression-era version of Trunk or Treat?
So I actually looked into Trunk or Treating, which was recent. Like, this actually, it obviously started more recently in years to combat the exact same issue.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, they're like, oh, it's not safe to have them out trick-or-treating, which has never really been proven. Yep.
Well, I told you, I tried so hard. I wanted to find any article that gave a case or an example on kids getting kidnapped on Halloween. There's no correlation.
Honestly, I think it just comes from the idea of, like,
it's a satanic.
The satanic panics and, like, the issue with Halloween.
It just all. Which I think is pretty much what the end of October was supposed to signify, was the end of a year.
It's the end of the year. It's the last harvest of the season is, like, right before it. And it is, I mean, the idea that the veil between the land of the living and the land of, like, the spiritual realm is the thinnest on that day.
Yep. So spirits walked among us.
Right.
Which is where the idea of costumes came, was for us to blend in.
Right. To try and hide from them in case they meant any harm.
Yep.
But, and you know, everybody's just got to take it too far and be like, well, it's evil. Like, no, it's not.
Now.
Yes.
Going off of that. Jack-o'-lanterns were actually originated, which you had mentioned, in Ireland, where it started with radishes and potatoes and just kind of fell out into other vegetables, ending up with the pumpkin. But do you know how the jack-o'-lantern got its name?
Yes, it was the guy named Jack.
Stingy Jack.
Yeah, Stingy Jack, that's who it was.
Stingy Jack. So, according to the story, Jack invited the devil to have a drink with him.
Seems legit.
Stingy Jack, being who he was, did not want to pay for said drink, which I'm assuming is how he got the name Stingy Jack. Mm-hmm. So he convinced the devil to turn himself into a coin that Jack could use to buy both of their drinks. Once the devil did, he decided to keep the money, put it in his pocket and next to his silver cross, and prevented the devil from changing back into his original form. Eventually freed the devil under the condition that he would not bother Jack for 1 year.
Yeah.
And should Jack die, he would not claim his soul.
Right.
So the next year, Jack tried again to trick the devil into climbing into a tree to pick a piece of fruit. When he was up in the tree, he carved a sign of the cross into the tree, like the bark. Mm-hmm. So the devil could not come down until the devil promised Jack not to bother him for 10 more years. Soon after, he passed, and God would not allow him into heaven for his stinginess. I'm just going to say stinginess.
Yeah, I mean, I mean,
it makes sense.
Well, and he made a deal with the devil. Like, he wasn't...
Yeah.
You can't get into heaven if you made a deal with the devil, even if you went back on it.
So the devil, clearly being upset because he had been tricked, kept his word and did not claim his soul, but would not allow Jack into hell. So he sent Jack off with a burning coal to light his way. Mm-hmm. So Jack put the coal in a carved out turnip and has been roaming the earth with ever since. The Irish began to refer to this ghostly figure as Jack of the Lantern. And then simply Jack-o-lantern.
Jack-o-lantern, yeah. So he's basically, like, in purgatory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then eventually Ireland and Scotland began making their own versions by carving their own, you know, scary faces to ward off the devil.
Yeah. Because Jack's an asshole.
Jack is an asshole.
Fucking Jack. Here, I'll make you a deal. Like, why would you fuck with the devil like that?
Why would you invite the devil out for a drink? Although I do have some questions.
The devil went down to Georgia.
All I'm saying is if you ever feel bad about yourself, just remember that the devil went down to Georgia and ended up losing a fiddle contest.
Yeah. In Georgia?
In Georgia.
And he's the devil.
He's the devil.
Isn't he supposed to always win? Like, isn't that the whole point?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, I would love a golden fiddle.
Yeah. I took violin lessons for, like, a year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Cool. My sister did.
I could play hot cross buns. It was in, like, third grade.
Still pretty cool. My sister took violin lessons. I always wanted to, but I sucked. It always sounded like a dying animal for me.
Just that.
All right.
So somewhere along the way, black cats got a bad rap.
Don't diss on my black cats, man. I know. Man.
Particularly on Halloween.
My little kitty boy.
I know. He's so sweet.
He's a tuxedo, but he's got his Halloween bow tie on right now.
He's precious. So there are myths about passing a black cat on Halloween is bad luck. You know, myths about Halloween being a night that there's free range on killing black cats you come across.
That is so much bullshit.
I know. Which I've also never, like, seen much about. I'm sure there's probably some asshole who's done it.
I actually have. So growing up, you remember how we had those cats that just kept having babies because every time we went to go get them fixed, they were pregnant again.
Yeah.
Well, we had several of them ended up, like, were black cats. Mm-hmm. My mom used to stress that we had to keep them inside because of the violence on black cats.
Which is just so fucking stupid.
It's sad.
It is. And it's based on...
Black cats are
baseless
really
superstition. Yes, yeah, they are. Uh-huh. So obviously this is completely undeserved, but where did it come from? So connections between humans and cats can be traced back to some of the world's earliest civilizations, obviously like the ancient Egyptians, who considered cats to be divine symbols.
Don't even get me started on my connection to Sylvester. He's a different breed. He's a weird one.
He's a special boy, but we love him. He's so sweet.
I know.
He's the sweetest. Cats were also present in Greek mythology, more specifically with Hecate, the goddess of magic, sorcery, the moon, and witchcraft. So a lot of descriptions or depictions or whatever of Hecate is of her having a cat as a familiar. Yeah, so where did they get their evil mythology if many saw them as divine and regal creatures? Well, the Catholic...
Which they abso-friggin-lutely are. Have absolutely. You ever seen a cat?
They're regal. Regal oh, as very. Fuck.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, the Catholic Church, of course,
is it where always they... starts with Catholics.
It does. No offense if you're Catholic.
No offense whatsoever.
But there's a lot of interesting history there. So, on June 13th of 1213... Pope Gregory the Ninth issued an official court document entitled Vox in Rama, which stated that black cats were considered an incarnation of Satan. So we're just bringing it right back around.
Why has it always got to be Satan?
Surprise, it's Satan again. In medieval Europe, cats, particularly of the black variety, became inextricably linked with witches. Witches honor the natural world, have a deep respect for nature and plants and animals. So apparently part of the link between cats with witches and Satan is also because cats, you know, have a certain air of authority or that they don't like other people being authority. Yes. So, you know, like people say cats are like a perfect lesson in consent because they're not going to like fawn over you like a dog will. And they will tell you like when they want to be left alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So obviously the independence of witches and cats alike wasn't liked by the church because they were all about rules and keeping people complacent. So that could also be a reason why they for some reason seemed to not like cats.
I never knew the origin of the black cat kind of mindset.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, cats, it's, I mean, really it seems like cats overall, but of course then for some reason people also think that black is an evil color, which I was screamed at by an old lady in Starbucks once, because I wear all black all the time. She's like, black is an evil color. I was like, have a nice day. So I think
Boys.
That's why black cats got an even worse reputation.
Well, you're wrong. They're wrong.
They're completely wrong. But
they're very wrong.
They don't
ever admit that they're wrong. One of my favorite cats was a black cat. Speaking of cats and their relationship towards witches, mm-hmm. pop culture has always portrayed witches as kind of evil, wart-covered, cauldron-stirring, broomstick-riding, evil...
Cackling. Like Wizard of Oz witch.
Oh, yeah.
Stereotypical.
Green face, black outfit. Yeah. This is... Black is an evil color. I would also just like to say, I don't know why we have, like, as witches, why they always have to have, like, frog warts and dead man's toes and...
Because... That's just...
It's because they're evil.
I was going to say, it's to go along with the evil image. Yeah. So they're like, they're ugly kind of, and haggard and...
And gross.
Yeah.
Is that
dead
the one that,
man's toe.
Dead man's toe and
dead
a dead
man's toe. Dead man's toe and a dead man's toe.
We love Hocus Pocus.
Amok,
love it.
Amok, amok. I smell children.
What another glorious morning. Makes me sick. All right. No more Hocus Pocus quotes, but probably more Hocus Pocus quotes. We'll just be honest. So witches of the early days used magic spells and called upon spirits to perform spells or bring about different changes. Some are believed to have been pagan witches doing, and I quote, the devil's work. Where do you think that came from?
The Catholic Church. Am I right?
I will not confirm nor deny. Most of them were simply natural healers or wise women whose lives and professions were just misinterpreted. The earliest record of witches comes from the Bible in Samuel 1.
Does it?
It does.
That's the earliest record.
The earliest record. From what I saw, to be written around 931 BC and 721 BC. This is the first, written...
I guess, like, an early version of the Bible.
Yeah. So after the banning of witches and witchcraft, King Saul disguised himself and sought out the Witch of Endor to summon the dead prophet Samuel's spirit to help him defeat the Philistine army after numerous failed attempts. Samuel was summoned, and he prophesied the death of Saul and his two sons. The next day, Saul's sons died in battle, and he killed himself. In Europe during the mid-1400s,
So this was kind of where we get into, I guess, the witch trials.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like the early ones in Europe.
Yeah. So in Europe,
I don't know if that's a known fact or not, though. Did everybody know that Europe had the witch trials before America?
Not everybody does.
Okay.
Just because Salem is talked about so much.
In Europe, during the mid-1400s, a lot of accused witches confessed to wicked actions, often under torture.
Yeah, they were coerced confessions.
Always, yep. Coerced, well, maybe not always. Who knows? But most witch hunts took place within a century, and most accused were burned at the stake or hung.
Hanged. Is that the correct term? What's the correct term?
Hanged. I think. I mean, hung is correct, but hanged, I think, is most widely used. Also, fun fact I just learned is that it is pretty much any of the witch trials that have happened in America or in North America have been hangings, because burning at the stake was reserved for like men who've committed high treason or something like that.
Huh.
I don't remember the specifics, but
it's
like
stinky.
It is stinky.
Not that I've ever done it before. It just, I imagine burning flesh doesn't
smell. Well, I've smelt burnt hair.
That does not smell good.
And I've read things about burnt human flesh, and people say that it smells absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I honestly would believe it.
So.
You don't have to do much to convince me on that one.
No.
I don't ever want to find out. So between 1500 and 1660, 80,000 suspected witches were executed in Europe. 80,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insanity.
There were, I think it was in the Paisley witch trials, I think during that period, like that specific group of people, I think it was like 20,000 just in that area.
Holy crap. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
But as witch hysteria kind of started to subside in Europe, it grew over here in the New World between the mm-hmm. French and the British. At the time, we had a smallpox epidemic and the growing fear of an attack at any day from a nearby Native American colony. I'm assuming they were just desperate for any kind of out.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of what they think might have happened in Salem.
Really?
Because not far from there, in Massachusetts, during that same time as when King Philip's War was happening, which if you know anything about that, it was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So that was happening nearby, and then there was also, like, had been a smallpox outbreak, and, you know, they were also just bored, spoiled little children.
Well.
You know.
Yeah, I think everybody knows about the Salem witch trials, or I feel like they should. So I won't go super, super in-depth with that one, but so contrary to popular belief, Salem is actually not the first of the witch trials. It actually started in Windsor, Connecticut, when Alice Young, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing that, was executed for witchcraft in 1647. Before the final witch trial in 1697, 46 people were accused and 11 were executed. Then we travel on to Salem, which we all pretty much know the story about that one. It is actually believed today that they were poisoned by a fungus.
That's one of the theories, yeah. In the rye flour supply, or like the grains.
Yeah. And that just kind of began a mass hysteria.
I don't know if I buy that.
It holds water as a theory.
It does. It absolutely does.
It's definitely a possibility.
And this is not the first case of any kind of mass hysteria, which I can absolutely do a segue on, like a segment on that, because I know a lot about, there was one where military men actually had some sort of mass hysteria of late at night. They would hear like beeping outside their windows and they all went fucking nuts.
I mean, yeah.
There's lots of stuff of that. Anyways. And that just kind of ended up with over 150 were accused and 18 were sentenced to death. Six of them were actually men. So in Virginia, people were a little bit less concerned. Apparently, they had actually passed a law, which I don't, in 1655, which I don't know how much grounds or this would help in any given situation. But apparently they passed a law where it was a crime to falsely accuse someone of such a crime. How would you prove that?
I was going to say how. Yeah.
Allegation.
Because, like, they can't. Even in Salem, like, they didn't prove anything.
Yeah.
And they made up. They even, like, made up rules and then, like, didn't even follow those and, like, still. There were people in Salem who were originally found not guilty and were still executed.
Mm-hmm. 24 witch trials actually took place between 1626 and 1730. None were executed, but that didn't stop them from finding other means to deal with the problem. This is when the water test was invented.
I thought the water test was invented in Salem.
Apparently not. Apparently it was Virginia.
Well, what year? I don't know if it was officially the first water test.
Well, what year was this? Because you said 1650.
When was it? 1706.
Oh.
I don't know if this was the first water test, but it was one of the more well-known ones.
Because in Salem, was the guy would tie hands and feet, and then you'd throw them in the water. If you float, you're a witch, and they hang you. If you sink, you're not, but you're still dead.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a lose-lose situation. But one of the more famous that actually went through the water trials was Princess Anne. And from Princess Anne County, Virginia, Grace Sherwood.
I heard of this one.
Her neighbors stated that she had killed their pigs and hexed their cotton.
How do you hex cotton?
I don't know. That was my exact thing, was how the hell do you hex
cotton? It was probably like a blight on their crops, and they were like, exactly, witchcraft.
Fucking witch. It's Grace. It's the neighbor.
Because it couldn't be like, you know, a natural occurrence. It's got to be witchcraft.
Always. They were looking for an out, man. Yeah. They just wanted to blame anything but the land and themselves. But, you know, it's fine. Whatever. Whatever takes the blame off your shoulders. And, you know, why not sentence some people to death while we're at it? Her neighbors stated that she killed their pigs and hexed their cotton. Other accusations followed, and Sherwood was brought to trial in 1706. The court decided to use the water test to determine her guilt or innocence. She was bound and thrown into a body of water. If she sank, she was innocent. If she floated, she was guilty, and she was a witch. Allegedly, she did not sink. She floated, and instead of being sentenced to death, she was put in prison for 8 years.
Well, yeah, because people float on water.
Although, I don't know if it... You wouldn't float permanently, though. You would sink eventually.
I mean, probably.
To this day, there is still a stereotype and violence that follows, whether it's accused or actual. Several men and women suspected have been beaten and killed in Papua New Guinea since 2010. A young mother was even burned alive. Tell me that's not sick.
Oh, yeah.
That we're still doing. I mean, we're still doing stuff like that anyways, but that's sick.
There was a... Period. The daughter of one of the women in Salem was also accused.
That's terrible.
She was 4 years old, and she was locked in prison for months. I mean, we're
killing people for stupid shit anyways. But
she was four.
Oh, that's sick.
And she was imprisoned for months.
That's sick.
Yeah. And apparently when she got out, she was, like, so messed up, because the Salem prison was absolutely horrible conditions. She was literally, like, so messed up. She was considered, like, legitimately insane, and she had to be, like... They had to, like, pay for people to, like, care for her.
That's really sad.
Yeah.
So similarly, Africa, South America, the Middle East, and immigrant communities in Europe and the U.S. have experienced the exact same thing. Now, obviously, this cannot be said for all, but what we call witches tend to avoid evil and the appearance of evil at all costs. Their motto is... quote, harm none, and they strive to live a peaceful, tolerant, and balanced life. Many still practice to this day, but there's really nothing sinister about it. The incantations come from their book of shadows and have been compared to a prayer in other religions. It is all intention-based. A modern potion is more of an herbal remedy for the flu instead of a hex to hurt somebody, and spells, more often than not, are used to keep someone from doing evil or hurting themselves.
That's really all I got. That's it.
There are still people who practice dark magic, but...
Yeah, I mean, there are, but, I'm sure. But it is all intention-based, in my opinion. So, I mean, it's your intention on how you plan to use it. To each their own. I mean, if that's what you believe, then do it.
Now that's all I have for factual stuff. Let's get into some spooky legends.
Spooky.
And this one's a little bit close to home that I know you and I have discussed before. This is the Bunny Man.
Ooh.
So despite his cute and
home state
story. Colchester Road in Fairfax County. Is that right?
That's right.
Yep. Fairfax County. Despite his cute and cuddly name, this man is anything but. So as the legend goes, in 1904, an uproar about a nearby asylum occurred from Clifton residents. Following this, the asylum was shut down and all patients were transferred to Lorton Prison. I hope I'm not mispronouncing that.
No, I think that's right.
Okay, cool. The bus swerved on its way out and crashed. They were able to locate all the inmates except for one, Douglas Griffin.
Which just sounds like Halloween.
It does.
It's like there was a breakout at the mental hospital. And one of them got away.
He disappeared without a trace, and in the weeks following, rabbit corpses began appearing throughout the woods, gutted and strung up like someone had been draining them of their blood to eat them. Now the legend goes, a group of kids were hanging out around the bridge, reported seeing some sort of, quote, orb, and were found strung up and gutted just like the bunnies. But my thing is, who the fuck reported what they saw? Yeah, that's the part of that story that always catches me.
Yeah.
How do the report?
It's an urban legend. I know, but you can't question it too much.
I can't help it. But it is said that if you are found near the bridge on Halloween night, you would meet the same fate.
Dun, 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 dun.
Well, my brother lives in Fairfax.
He lives in Fairfax?
Yep.
Oh. I thought he just visited it.
No, because he went to college at George Mason and then graduated and has stayed up there since.
Oh.
So he's been to Bunny Man Bridge a few times. Not on Halloween. But he and him.
It's not the same.
I know. But he and his friends have gone up there because obviously if you're that close, why would you not? Because I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, nothing, like, super, crazy has happened. But one time they went, and it was, like, really, it was dark, obviously, they went at night. And it was really foggy. There was, like, a fog, like, nestled over the street. And then they got close to, because the bridge, like, under it, like, it was the overpass. And the fog, like, dissipated, and in the headlights they saw, like, all across a section of the street, hundreds of frogs.
That's actually pretty cool.
Just, like, hundreds of frogs.
Terrifying, but cool. Yeah. I mean, I like frogs.
I mean, yeah, but if you see that many just, like, chilling in the middle of the road, that's a little bit ominous.
I feel like I would be like, I'm gonna catch them.
But I'm just saying, like, if you're driving to a creepy bridge with a legend surrounding it, and there's just, like, frogs everywhere, you're like,
I'm gonna catch him.
What's going on? Then also, another time...
I'm gonna fill somebody's car with frogs.
Oh, God. Just as long as it's not me.
No, we already did that for your birthday. Just not frogs.
But yeah, another time they went, he said they saw, like, a nun. But, like, clearly, like, a ghost.
That's creepy.
But going both directions, like, driving in the car, she was facing away from them.
Oh,
but, like, they hadn't seen her turn around.
I wonder if the asylum was run by...
I don't remember.
There were several others that I kind of quickly paraphrased the basis of kind of what was going on. Because I've seen that he axe killed these teenagers. I've seen that he stabbed them. I've seen that he hung them up by a rope.
Yeah, there's a lot of different versions.
So it definitely varies on what you're researching and where. I probably could have started with that. But
yeah, that's the fucking probably creepiest is that there's like just this.
Nuns in general are scary.
Especially when it's the ghost of a nun.
Catholics.
They're scary.
The ghost of a nun? Like, no thanks.
Yeah, just hard pass.
Hard pass.
More creepy tales?
I have the Great Clown Panic of 2016 in capital letters.
Oh, God. Not clowns.
So there's a lot of reasons that people find clowns disturbing. Starting with John Wayne Gacy.
I would not want to meet John Wayne Gacy as a clown.
I wouldn't want to meet any clown. Even it, like, obviously scares the shit out of me.
I mean, I like the movie, but, like, if I saw Pennywise in my drain, I'd be like, fuck no, I'm out.
You got a balloon, I love balloons.
We all float down here.
Georgie.
Time to float.
Just avoid clowns.
That's a nice boat, Georgie.
Oh, I love that line. That one, I couldn't help but laugh when he said that.
That's a nice boat, Georgie.
And I was like, why do you have to say it like that? So, the Great Clown Panic of 2016, there was an outbreak of clown sightings that spread throughout the world, almost all the way over to Australia. There were reports everywhere of people driving down the road and seeing clowns standing in the woods menacingly with knives. And I remember
or trying
videos.
To lure children into vans.
Yes. Like this was like there were videos everywhere.
I remember seeing, like, I don't know if I saw any videos, but I remember seeing pictures all over the internet.
Oh yeah, they were all over the place. And I'm deathly terrified of clowns.
Oh,
there's
I
not
hate
a lot of
clowns
that I fear.
Fuck a clown.
Spiders and clowns are just not it for me.
No, clowns are the absolute worst.
Pass. Hard pass. Just hard.
The
pass.
Hardest pass.
Just please. No, the clown bedroom. R.I.P.
Oh yeah. No.
No. No.
That's some nightmare
I'm
fuel.
I'm pretty sure that's where my fears stem from. Was that stupid clown bedroom. No.
When we went to Hollow Scream, it was like our last stop was Italy. And you know how you have to cross the bridge into Italy at Busch Gardens?
Yeah.
So there was like a banner hung over the middle of the bridge and it said something about something carnival or whatever, and I was like, no 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 no, because by that time it was dark. By that time it was dark. And we start walking and I see a fucking clown on the bridge, like harassing people walking by. So I walked to like the opposite side of the bridge and was like hugging the other side. And then another one comes out. And we get to the other side of the bridge, and I'm trying to avoid them. They notice that I'm trying to avoid them, so they both start following me.
No, thank you.
And I run into the bathroom.
No, thank you.
And I think it was Aaron was like, are you okay? I was like, just tell me when they're gone. Tell me when they leave, and I'll come out.
We are not okay.
So finally they left, and I came out, and neither of us wanted to ride. Like, the only thing that they... Well, no, we rode Apollo's Chariot, and we did, like, the Matterhorn or something. But they wanted to ride Trade Winds, and we didn't want to do that. It was late, and we were like, I don't want to do a spinny ride at this time of night.
No.
So Aaron and I both just, like, sat outside on the little stone wall, and I was like, if they come over here, I'm going to punch them in the face, keep them away from me.
Protect me!
So luckily they never bothered us, but...
Fuck like, Aaron.
I was like, I can't
fuck
do this.
Yeah, Aaron. Yeah. She was the protector.
Well, I mean, they didn't even really... They were more interested in the people, like, walking by because they could jump out and scare them. I was like...
I do see the interest there. I love a go-haunted house.
Yeah, but not with clowns.
Hard pass with clowns. Although they're always there, and I've tried to kind of not be a baby back bitch about it, but it doesn't always work. I don't like clowns. Apparently, no confirmed injuries were ever made.
I mean, that's good.
Yeah. I don't know if I buy that because I feel like a lot of the reports...
They're emotional scars.
Yes. Yes. I think from what I just kind of gathered, because it had just been announced.
The new one.
It's possible that it could have been a stunt for that, or it could have been a stunt for some sort of low-budget horror film that went viral. And I mean, it went viral. It was nationwide.
That is possible.
Worldwide. I mean, everybody had creepy-ass clown sightings, specifically around the woods.
It could have been, like, sort of spurned on by It.
That's kind of what came out. That's what my assumption was. That's my kind of gathering of it. They did mention in a few articles that it also was a viral thing for a quote low budget horror film. But I never heard of the film.
I do feel like I vaguely heard something about that.
I think it was a stunt for something, but I never heard of this low budget horror.
Like that some of them were actually like planned as marketing.
Yep.
I remember hearing about that. Yep. But yeah, I don't remember what it was supposed to be for.
Yeah, I don't either. I assumed it was it. I remember it being some sort of viral marketing, but I just assumed it was it. That was my assumption.
Also, what a terrifying way.
I mean, dude, tell me it did not get those people in the box office for that movie, though.
I mean, it did.
Because it was fucking horrifying. And I remember watching videos of clowns chasing people in their cars.
That's a no.
It's also
that's dangerous for them because someone like me,
well, that's why I think I would be like,
I'm gonna hit this clown with my car.
I mean, every time I pulled up Facebook, it was a new one.
Yeah, I remember that. It was crazy.
It was chaos.
That was nuts. So my, I'm gonna talk a little bit about sort of the origins of the poisoned Halloween candy myth. /urban legend. And then we've got a little true crime tie-in. So,
just for your enjoyment.
Some of the first sort of incidents that led to this idea, in 1959, William Shine was a dentist in California, who was said to have given trick-or-treaters candy-coated laxatives. He was charged with outrage of public decency and unlawful dispensing of drugs.
All the shits. Good God, those children. God.
All those parents.
I have taken a laxative, and let me tell you, it is not a good time. So, I can only imagine. Also in 1964, supposedly a woman in Long Island, New York, gave out packages with, well, I guess I shouldn't say supposedly. I think this definitely did happen, but, she gave out packages with inedible items such as steel wool, so like Brillo pads, dog biscuits, and even poison buttons, which I think are like the little tabs that you use to like poison like rats or something. I don't remember.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, dog biscuits, like, yeah, you could technically eat those, but also
it might make you sick, like, depending on what's in it.
Also,
they're not all human grade. Depending on what treats, especially in the
60s. I mean, I've never eaten dog biscuits before.
Anna tried to get me to eat dog treats once.
She's not a good friend.
No, it was when we were kids. She was like, yeah, they taste like cookies. They were like the kids, Scooby snacks
different.
Ones.
That's very different because I had a friend that told me, I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember those like air fresheners that came in a little white
container? Like the little cake.
Yes.
Yeah.
You ripped off the thing and they smelled really good. One of my friends told me it was bologna.
That's poisonous.
Guess what my dumbass did?
Ate it?
I tried to.
Did someone call poison control?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. So luckily no one was injured, but she was prosecuted and pled guilty to endangering children. She had given these to children that she believed were too old to be trick-or-treating, which I don't even want to get into that.
I have so many words for
this. I do too.
One.
I don't think that there should be a cap on trick-or-treating. Personally,
I think it's kind of up to the child. I think if you're over 18, probably not. You don't need to be walking around.
I don't see why not, though. I mean, it depends. You're just getting free candy. Like, who cares?
I guess to me, it just feels a little juvenile.
Also,
but
especially
it should
like.
Definitely be up to the kid.
Also, especially a lot of people will like say something if they think someone looks too old, and it's like, you don't know if that person, like, doesn't have like a disability.
Exactly.
And, like,
that's what I was gonna
yeah.
say. I don't,
but yeah, I've seen so many things talking about that, and I've always said that too. It's like the same thing as like special ed kids can stay in high school
yes.
until they're like 22.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because their mental age is younger than what they actually are. So it's like, who cares if they're out trick-or-treating? Like, give them a piece of candy and move on with your life. So this same year, there were also reports of, in Detroit, there was, and these are all, like, I don't know if any of these are confirmed or if they're just rumors. There were reports in Detroit of bubblegum filled with lye.
What is lye?
Lye goes into, like, soap.
Yeah.
So in its, like, pure form, it's very toxic. In Philadelphia, there were reports of people giving out things with rat poison. You know, casual. Though neither of these were ever substantiated, so like I said, they could just be rumors. There were reports of them, but no one ever, like,
no conclusively... No charges were ever
yeah,
made.
No one conclusively came back and were like, yeah, that happened. So, several incidents that were initially blamed on candy tampering, but on further inspection and investigation were ruled differently. 1970, a kid named Kevin Tostin, who was 5 years old from Detroit, died after eating his uncle's heroin. The family attempted...
That'll kill you.
Yeah.
That would
especially at five.
Kill you.
Uh-huh. The family attempted to protect the uncle by claiming that it had been sprinkled in his candy, but obviously, I'm sure, upon further investigation, they figured out.
I have so many words for the family. Why?
People go to weird lengths to protect their family. I don't know.
You lost a child over this.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it happens. In 1978, Patrick Weiderhold, I'm sorry if I said that wrong. I'm pretty sure that's how it's pronounced, was a 2-year-old from Flint, Michigan. He died after eating Halloween candy. However, toxicology tests found no evidence of poison. His death was actually later determined to be due to natural causes. I couldn't really find what it was, but so like who knows if he had some illness or whatever. Correlation does not imply causation. Like, just because he ate the candy doesn't mean that's what killed him. In 1990, Ariel Katz was a 7-year-old in Santa Monica. She died while trick-or-treating. Early press reports blamed poison candy, even though her parents told the police that she had been previously diagnosed with a serious medical condition. She had an enlarged heart, which was her actual cause of death. So she just happened to die while she was trick-or-treating and had nothing to do with the candy. But of course, if that happens, you know, people are going to blow it up and it's like a terrible game of telephone. They're like, did you hear? And then, of course, somebody's going to be like, it was the candy
so
that did it.
So many things get lost in translation.
Yeah. It's just like the whole thing of the rumor mill is everything gets inflated and details get changed. And
hence the bunny man.
Yeah. In 2001, a 4-year-old in Vancouver, British Columbia, died after eating some Halloween candy. There was no evidence, though, of poison candy. She actually died of a strep infection. So, again, just a bad coincidence.
That's so sad.
I know.
Bad timing.
Yeah.
She just wanted some candy.
So, perhaps the most well-known case in which this nightmare of what is mostly an urban legend actually came true is the 1974 death of Timothy O'Brien.
I hate this story.
Oh, I do too. So, Ronald Clark O'Brien and his wife, Danine, lived in Deer Park, Texas, with their 2 children, 8-year-old Timothy and 5-year-old Elizabeth. Their Halloween evening started out pretty normally, with the family sitting down to a meal at the home of a family friend, Jim Bates, and his wife and children in Pasadena. After dinner, Ronald and Jim headed out with the kids to go trick-or-treating. They stopped at one house that was dark. Kids tried the doorbell anyway, but there was obviously no answer. And Jim kept going with the kids, but Ronald kind of hung back a little bit. After several minutes, he caught up with them with a handful of, like, those huge pixie sticks. Like, the ones that are, like, 2 feet long, and they're, like, stapled shut because they're, like, plastic instead of paper. They're the big ones.
Oh, yeah, I used to love those.
He told them that one of the rich houses was, like, handing them out and that he'd gotten them some, so he passed them out to the kids. He ended up actually giving the remaining one to a trick-or-treater later at the Bates' house after they got back from trick-or-treating. After they had finished for the night, Ronald, Danine, and the kids returned home, and Ronald told Timothy and Elizabeth they could each pick 1 treat from their candy hauls to have before bed that night. And Timothy picked his pixie stick, which, like, duh, why would you not? Also, though, you're going to be on, like, a huge sugar rush trying to go to sleep.
Those are going to be some fun nightmares.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. So he ate some and then stopped, saying that it tasted bitter. And Ronald gave him some Kool-Aid to wash it down and help get rid of the bad taste in his mouth.
Great, so more of a sugar rush. Here, I know you're done with that sugar.
Well, I think it was probably more because of the flavor. Like, it would get the bad taste out of his mouth.
Makes sense.
Instead of, like, water.
Sugar rush!
So only moments later, he heard the boy yelling out for him. So I guess he'd probably gone up to bed. And so Ronald told the Associated Press, quote, "It seems like it wasn't long before he was up and complaining his stomach hurt and he didn't feel good. He was bent over vomiting and I was holding him and he just went limp. We thought we were so careful. We had even wondered if we should go out trick-or-treating this year." So again, he's trying to, you know, cast suspicion elsewhere, make himself look innocent. None of the other kids who had received the pixie sticks had eaten any. One had wanted to, but fell asleep right after he got home, wiped out from a full night of trick-or-treating, which, you know.
Yeah, recently so.
Relatable.
I remember those days.
Yeah. Good times. And the others ended up being collected before any of the kids could get to them, probably like the next day. Timothy's autopsy found enough cyanide in his system to kill 3 grown men.
Holy shit.
And the pixie stick, it was found that someone had opened them, dumped out some of the candy, replaced it with potassium cyanide, and restapled them shut, which no one would suspect because they already have a staple in them, so it doesn't look tampered with.
Where does potassium cyanide come from? Like, where would you get that? Is that like a rat poison?
Yeah.
It is?
I think so. There are different places you can get it. I think it's a lot less harder to come by now because cyanide poisoning became such a thing.
Oh, yeah. Lots of old cases like that.
Yeah. But this was in the 70s. But still, at that point, it probably was still easier than now to come by. Maybe not as much as, like,
arsenic
in, like, the 20s.
The arsenic.
Yeah. I told you I have arsenic and cyanide salt and pepper shakers for my spooky apothecary kitchen.
I wish I could say that that surprised me, but I also love that. I like foxes. I like cute things.
Cute. I like spooky things. I like creepy things.
I like spooky things, but some I like them.
Dark, macabre, morbid shit.
I like my cute spooky things.
I have some cute spooky. I also have some just straight up spooky. So Ronald was questioned about who had given him the candy, and he claimed that at the house he'd gotten them from, he'd rung the doorbell, and just a hairy arm thrust them through the doorway, which of course made police suspicious. Like, yeah, just an arm reached through and, like, handed me these pixie sticks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So upon digging into Ronald O'Brien's past, things were starting to click into place.
Oh, I don't know anything about his past.
Yeah. So in the past decade, he'd been fired from over 21 different job positions.
Decade? So 10 years. He got fired from
21 jobs in 10 years. Yep.
At least.
Yep.
Minimum 2 jobs. And he got fired. Not quit.
Fired.
Fired.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing. How is he still getting jobs?
I don't know. Well, so he was currently on the verge of losing his current job at Texas State Optical after it had been discovered he was stealing.
That's how he keeps getting fired.
Yeah. He was about $100,000 in debt, had just lost the house, and was looking at also losing his car. So the man who lived in the house that Ronald claimed he got the candy from worked as an air traffic controller and had something like 200 people to corroborate his alibi that he was working that night. So on top of him already looking suspicious, it was discovered that he had apparently taken out a $60,000 life insurance policy for his kids.
Sick.
Yeah. And police were...
$60,000. And he only killed one kid? That's not going to pay off your debt, my friend.
I don't know if that was the plan. Or if he planned for both of them. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Because he gave both of them one of the pixie sticks.
Yeah.
So police were speculating that he had planned to kill his children to commit insurance fraud and use the money to help pay off some of his debt.
I mean, it's solid.
Yeah, except for the whole part where you have to kill your kids.
I meant that was a solid
suspicion. Yeah. You know, like, that's a solid plan. I'm like,
whoa.
Yeah.
Who do you think I am?
Within just a few days, Ronald was obviously arrested for the murder of his son, Timothy. Detectives were never able to trace and narrow down exactly where he got the cyanide from, though, which is interesting.
Huh.
But, you know, he could have, like, paid in cash, gotten it from somewhere, gotten somebody else to buy it for him, something
cash
shady, you never know.
More back then.
Yeah. In March of 1975, his trial began, so about 5 months later. During the trial, several witnesses spoke about remembering O'Brien being interested in obtaining cyanide and having questions on things like dosing, specifically how much it would take to kill, which is just super sketch.
This concerns me. Way to be obvious. If anybody got a hold of my Google searches, they'd be very concerned.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if I'm on, like, an FBI watch list for Google searches.
Not even in the slightest would I be surprised. I'd be a little bit, like, I'm flattered that you think I'm capable.
Right? I'm like, you think I'm interesting enough for that?
Oh, thank you.
That's funny.
At least somebody thinks I'm interesting.
Right. His sister-in-law also recalled that during Timothy's funeral, Ronald was apparently talking about possibly using the insurance money to take a vacation. So, like, this is your son's funeral. Also, you're in a shit ton of debt and about to be arrested for murder, so a vacation's not really on the table right now, my dude.
Yeah, definitely not on the table.
No. It's like, you think you're just gonna, like, be able to run off and...
Go
on vacation. So the lead prosecutor, Mike Hinton, told the court, quote, "The only inescapable conclusion is that this man killed his own flesh and blood for money. Think how easy it would be for him to kill a stranger for money."
That's really sad.
Which is a good point.
That's fucking sick.
Like, if he did it to his own kids, who's to say he won't do it to someone else? So we need to get this fucker off the streets.
Throw away the key.
The jury only deliberated for 46 minutes before coming back with a guilty verdict. And this was a death penalty case, which isn't a lot of time for deliberations, but it was pretty obvious that he did it, so there wasn't really a whole lot of reasonable doubt to be cast.
I think these initial cases where the death penalty is the first option that they go for really just speaks more volumes to how sick the crimes were.
Yeah. I mean, you murdered your 8-year-old child.
Yeah.
I never understand how anyone can do that, especially to a child in general, but especially their own. I just don't get it. So, of course, he maintained his innocence, tried to appeal several times. But on March 31st, 1984, Ronald O'Brien was served a last meal of steak, fries, peas, and Boston cream pie before being executed by lethal injection.
Oh, wait, no. I thought it was going to be the electric chair.
No, it's lethal injection. So this is the only known incident there of there actually being, like, this crazy story of poisoned Halloween candy, despite the urban legend that has terrified parents for decades. Ronald is sometimes referred to as the Candy Man.
The Candy Man can.
I'm not
done bringing out
the song. Who can take a sunrise?
Sprinkle it with dew.
Cyanide. Obviously, there's no harm checking your kids' candy, but it's unlikely there will be any tampering going on.
There's also the apples have been poisoned.
Or the razor blades and apples.
Yeah.
Which my mom was, like, flabbergasted because she was talking, when I was telling her about this story the other day, she was like, yeah, wasn't there also the thing about, like, razor blades in, like, candy apples? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, well, that actually happened, though. Like, I remember, like, my mom being, like, so scared and making us check everything. And I was like, it didn't happen. It's just an urban legend.
Tis a myth.
So I think that about does it in our Halloween special episode.
Spooky.
We hope you keep listening. And if you want to catch up with us, you can follow us on Instagram at Pardon My Crime Pod. Hit us up on Twitter at Pardon Crime Pod. Or you can also send us an email at pardonmycrimepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear feedback.
Please.
Let us know of any cases you want us to cover.
We're still getting into the groove.
We've got, like, lists of things we want to cover, but we would always be welcome to suggestions, especially if there's, like, something that you know about, if it's, like, a local case to you that's not well known.
Oh, yeah, definitely send us those.
Yeah.
We would love some that we can research and maybe get the word out for some unsolved cases, because there's quite a few out there.
There's too many.
Way too many.
We'd like to get into those. I really want to do a lot of ones that, like, haven't been talked about a lot. I'm sure we'll still hit some big ones, but I really think it would be good to get into, like, lesser known cases.
Fingers crossed we don't have to wait next week, too. Hopefully we'll be on it. We won't have any more accidents. No more sick pets.
No more sick pets.
That have to go to the emergency vet two nights in a row.
Oh, no. Yeah. We don't need that again. Hopefully now he'll stay on.
Fingers crossed. I love that cat. I really do, but I can't pay for three.
Yeah. That shit's not cheap.
No, it's not.
Anyway, we hope you have a great Halloween and Halloween weekend. Stay safe, yeah. Don't eat any sketchy pixie sticks.
And until next time, inspect your kids' candy anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
Never hurts. It's, also, don't walk home.
Also, just a PSA to any paranoid people out there, nobody is giving your kids their edibles for Halloween.
Yeah, they're expensive.
I keep seeing that stuff online. I know. People are giving kids LSD. People spend money on that. They want it for themselves. It's expensive. They're not giving it to your children.
All right. And the end. It's a wrap.
That's a wrap.